Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. We'll get to his Beast and Beef shortly here, but let's go to Mosaic Stadium for the first time tonight. Here are the post-game thoughts from the head coach of the Rough Riders, Craig Dickinson.
It was a game of adversity, that's for sure, Britton. I mean, I felt like we played well the first half. Second half, I think we ran out of juice a little bit. And credit to Winnipeg. That's a championship caliber team that just wears you down, and they found a way to grind out the win. But I thought our guys played hard. We were a little shorthanded that second half. We lost a lot of guys, and we just wore out. So proud of the effort of our team. We need to get in a little better shape, and we need to make sure we get healthy this week. That's my main concern, is we got to get healthy for Calgary. All credit due to Winnipeg. That's a championship caliber team that pulled away in the second half when they needed to.
Who did you lose in?
We don't know, but we were down five guys in the second half. So a lot of the guys that started the game didn't finish. We hope they're not too serious, but we'll know more tomorrow.
Why kick the field goal late in the fourth quarter, or midway through the fourth quarter?
It's about 8 minutes, 7:58, right? You know, I probably could have gone for it. I wanted to win the game, though. And the reality was, I felt like if I could kick the field goal and we got a quick stop, we'd get a quick score and maybe get a chance to score a touchdown to win it. In hindsight, I probably should have gone for it, honestly. But at the time, it felt like the right decision to kick it.
Was the kick return touchdown, was that really?
That was the backbreaker, Brendan, no doubt. That broke our backs because we had them, you know. And I think our guys stopped playing a little bit, too. And that's on us to coach that better. But when they see a flag out there, they know what it is. And they instinctively, I think, slow down a little bit. And that's, we'll have to coach that out of them for sure, because there is the ability to challenge that. But that was a tough reversal. We should have covered better, but that hurt seeing that go the other way.
I hate to spoil it for you, and I'm sure some of the assistants saw it, but we counted 10 missed tackles on that.
Oh, yeah.
Does that rub salt in the wounds because your team's coached by a special teams coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give Janarian Grant a lot of credit. He's strong, and when we study returners, we try to basically grade them by their speed, their ability to make you miss, and their strength. And he's got all three. So he's a West All-Star for a reason. We got to tackle better for sure, but that's a good football player, and he made a lot out of nothing there, because that was a broken play. That was him just rallying and his troops, you know, helping him along the way. But I think that was the play of the game.
Big bright spot for you was the play of Sam Emelis tonight. How proud were you of him?
Yeah, he's a good player. We like him, and felt like he was a good player all along. He just got some opportunities tonight, and you saw what he could do.
What do you think of the penalty situation tonight? Pass interference?
I don't know even what the penalty tally was during the game. I think the PI was probably close, but you're not going to probably win a challenge on that. You're talking about the one on Nelson?
Yeah.
Yeah. He knocked the receiver down. Now, was it before the ball got there? I don't know. Ball was tipped, so it's hard to say.
As the day evolved, Craig, was there really much suspense regarding whether Trevor would play? Because from talking to him, it sounded like it was...
No,
really,
it's just, it's good fodder for the fans and the media. We knew he was going to play all along, and, you know, it's never for sure, Rob, till he's out there, but he told me all along he feels he's going to be able to play. I believe him. We held him out of practice to get him as much treatment as we could, and I think we made the right decision.
On the illegal block penalty, as a coach, can you just, when you challenge it, can they look at every block and say,
No. Please
find one, or do you have to say a specific number?
I think they have to say, and again, I've never seen one overturned, so this was a first for me. They have to say that wasn't an illegal block on whatever number was called for an illegal block, and there has to be clear, indisputable evidence that the call was incorrect. So there must have been a lot, you know, must have lined up for him at the command center, because that's what the standard is. It has to be clear, indisputable evidence that the call on the field was incorrect. So that was what they decided.
There is head coach Craig Dickinson here on the Green Zone post-game show.
The call was incorrect. There was really no contact on it. And when they say they looked at the blocks, they look at the ones that are kind of just before, just after, and to see that there was no penalty that the guy could have thrown for something that happened within a second or two. They're allowed to check they're not going to check. It sounded like the Foxcroft, the referee, said that they checked all the blocks. Well, they checked a couple that were around it. There's no way they could have checked all 10 missed tackles.
Man.
So that's what I counted. 10 guys within arm's reach, within tackling reach of the play of Janarian Grant.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Could not believe it.
Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing.
And he said they ran out of gas, right? And
some of them at the end did. Yeah, you could see Jackson Ford was he was chasing and he ran out of gas at the end.
Did.
These guys need to be in better shape to get downfield. Yep. Hey, Belton, a little bit of conditioning work coming up.
I know what Belton would be doing with them.
We got a hill.
You're going to French Park.
There you go.
And you're going to hills.
You better believe it. My flag football team, they run hills.
Yeah.
I know that park. That's our toboggan hill in the winter.
There you go.
And they don't run out of gas in the fourth quarter.
Oh, we don't run out of gas.
You know, we talked about the Bombers pulling away in the fourth quarter, and that's part of it. Better game condition, too, but obviously better teams do that. They know how to salt away games, but a lot of it has to do with fourth quarter conditioning, and they proved it.
We continue here on the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with Belton. Are you ready to go? You ready?
Yeah, Jamie.
Okay, let's do it.
Man.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
All right, Belton Johnson. He's got his beasts, the good, the beef, the bad. What are you going with? Let's start us off.
Let's go beast. I don't have much at all here, Jamie. Much at all. I can't wait to get to the beef, though.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Beast.
Yep.
What do you got?
All right. Second quarter there. There was some nifty escapability by Trevor Harris where he was running around, ducked up under a guy, dodged a guy, and like, yeah, this guy, his hip, ain't nothing wrong with him at all, man. So, and just the way he moved and everything, right? My biggest beast, Jamie, is Himmelis. Yes, Himmelis. what he had, 3 touchdowns, right?
That ties the Rider record, by the way, for most touchdown receptions in a game.
And it was the one in the second quarter. For some reason, that one stood out the most to me because it was I thought Trevor Harris was trying to throw it away, and he hit him on a corner route, and he ran, he got up under the ball, and it was just the perfect throw away from everybody. And I think the Riders, they went up 17-14 on that one. So that's my beast, Himmelis.
Sam Himmelis with the corner route. I think Trevor Harris, I think we'll hear about it, thought he might have overthrown him on that one, but he got
I thought he almost did, but yeah, he got under it. Got good speed, man.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got for us for the beef?
All right, second quarter.
I think I know what your beef is already.
Lowther missed the kick. It could have tied the freaking game 10-10. And I have made the note here. You're going to need every point for this game.
They needed about 6 more field goals.
I know, but he needed that. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that could be the difference. And, again, when a kicker comes out, give me that confidence. Lyle's going to hit
that. He doesn't
that.
Look that confident anymore, does he?
Man, I'm starting to go south on him here.
Mm-hmm.
He hit 2 field goals, but the longest was 30, and the other one was the chip shot from 11 yards. But can we give him a beast, though? He took a great angle on the tackle.
He actually got a couple tackles in the game because I think he was leading special teams at 1 point in tackles. Seriously. I think he had 2 tackles right off the hop. I'm like, holy cow. But I'm going to tell you.
He did tie for the most special teams tackles tonight.
There's your unsung.
Hey, unsung hero.
I'm kidding you guys. Field goal.
But, snarky, Jamie.
Come on.
My biggest beef is the third quarter. The missed tackles on the punt return. It was 10 of them, apparently.
10 within range. I can't, they'll say 8 or 9, yep. But 10 guys were within tackling reach of Janarian Grant.
They were. And then that illegal block challenge by the Bombers. So I gave it a – it was my beef because of the missed tackles and for Command Center overturning the illegal blocks.
I'm surprised. I didn't think that was going to be Belton Johnson's beef tonight.
Didn't you?
No. I thought it was going to be the traffic and the construction trying to get around.
I'm with you on that, but I actually, because y'all, as y'all know, I gotten here earlier than I normally get here, right?
Yeah.
And it's because I told my wife, I'm like, okay, maybe we need to leave at the 8-minute mark instead of the normal 6-minute mark. And I'm glad we left when we did, because when we were coming up, I just saw it was backed up, turning to the left, turning to the right. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm glad we left because, I would have been that much later.
Yeah. So
us too.
There might be people still trying to get out of the parking lot. Thanks for listening to us. 877.
Give us a call and tell us. But you can't use bad words.
Yes.
If there's somebody still in the parking lot, they'll be wanting to use bad words.
1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open here on the Green Zone postgame show as the Rough Riders fall to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Final score, 45-27. Coming up next, you'll hear from the quarterback, Trevor Harris, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. I'm Jamie Nye. He's Hall of Fame reporter Darryl Davis. And this is a Grey Cup champion in Belton Johnson. As we go back to the fan line at 1-877-332-8255, Paul in Regina. What are you thinking after the Bombers beat the Riders 45-27?
All I'm going to say is the Riders got a good team this year. Period. No matter if they lost, and I've talked in this show before, I cheer for a different team. I won't say who they are, but the Riders look good this year.
What do you like about them?
Their intensity.
On both sides of the ball.
Yep. And the emotion they show, starting from a very veteran quarterback.
Well,
bringing life, actual excitement and life to a team that didn't have it last year.
Yeah, he's a good leader, isn't he? It seems like they follow him.
Yeah, and the Trevor Harris is—he's a cagey veteran, right? Yeah. He's going to go in the huddle, and he just has.
There's confidence. He commands it, man.
Yeah, there's confidence in him.
I think Brendan Lenny has said it. I forget who there was another receiver, or maybe running back that said it. They said there's an aura of confidence when he walks into the room.
Yeah,
like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. This guy believes in himself. Mm-hmm. This guy believes in us.
Yeah.
And it looks like that. And it looked like that. Last week they struggled a bit. They're ironing some things out. This week it was, and against a pretty darn good Bombers defense too. Now I know they're missing Jackson Jeffcoat and have some other injuries there for the Bombers defense, but hey, 400, I think they changed it to 419 yards from 427. I don't know what is happening with CFL stats, but
there's my beef right there, too, Jay. Oh, man.
It was over. Now it's down to 405.
No way.
A little bit longer.
They dropped 20 yards off him. How are they It might be under 400 by the night's over.
He may be about 250 or 270, so I can win the bowl predictions if we keep waiting.
You swept pretty much everything tonight in bold predictions. We'll wait for that one. But, 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Last week he said that's probably the worst he's ever played in a win. The best he's ever played in a loss. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, no picks either.
Hey. No picks, no.
So, could have had a few.
He overthrew a couple guys, but he's pretty accurate. You know, when you compare him to a lot of guys, he hit some guys on the right shoulder at the right time and just who are pretty well covered.
The thing I like about him is just that presence in the pocket, right? Like, you know, I don't know. He has that clock in him. He sees it. He knows it. And
steps up when he has to.
He doesn't just get rattled, right? And like you said, there, he will step up in that pocket. And He's eyes downfield every time.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from the quarterback for the Rough Riders. Here's Trevor Harris.
Yeah, it's just we had a couple opportunities offensively that we could have, you know, applied more pressure and made it a little bit tighter. You know, the last drive where we kicked the field goal, I think the one before that, we kicked the field goal, I think. Two field goals. We get two scores, you know, instead of that, it's 35. And then the last drive, maybe, you know, it's a little bit different, you know. But, yeah, it's neither here nor there. It's a loss, and we'll watch the film, make the corrections, and move on. We give ourselves the 24-hour rule, and this one sucks. You know, you want to win at home, especially, you know, in an electric environment that fans provided tonight. But the only thing that now is we ain't going to be undefeated. And, we got a locker room full of guys that aren't going to flinch, and we're going to stick together. And that's the genetic makeup of this team. And I think when you have a first loss, you find out a lot about your team, and you could hear a lot of motivation in the locker room. A lot of guys wanted to go up and get a workout in right now. And, you know, I hadn't heard something like that since, like, high school. And to hear a grown man say that, we've got a lot of people that care.
Last week, you said it wasn't your best statistical performance in a win. You throw for 400 today, but you lose. Is that just football?
It's football. I trade it, obviously, for the win. And that's because that's what matters is wins and losses. But, yeah, frustrating that we didn't get the win here. I felt pretty good physically and didn't have anything, bumps and bruises. So we're full steam ahead. I really like this team. And I think the fans of this province is going to like the end result as we go throughout the year. But obviously just not good enough tonight. Zach Kolaris is one heck of a football player, and I think everybody knows that. But when you play this position and watch him do what he does, he's special.
Trevor, when you watch Winnipeg, I mean, they don't give you many opportunities. You have to seize virtually everything that's in front of you. Is Winnipeg just put that pressure on a team because they're so efficient?
Yeah, they're a team that if you don't capitalize on every mistake and if you're not on your P's and Q's for a full 60 minutes, they're going to hurt you. And they've kept their same core of players together for multiple years. And when you have that, that's when you can start to really, you know, build a dynasty type of feel. But I don't feel like we're overmatched by any stretch. We're a good football team, and we're just learning who each other are. And so I really like this team, like I said, and I think we're going to like this team even more and more as the weeks go on and we gel more and more.
Whereby you were able to play today, did you wake up today and feel noticeably better, or how did all that evolve?
Tuesday night, I would have thought there was probably like a 5% chance I played. I was struggling to get up off the couch, and I started doing some treatments with my ARP machine. It's an ARP ARP machine, and I did two treatments with that, and I was significantly better to the next day, where I felt like if they needed me to, I could have practiced, but my body wasn't quite ready. And then I woke up on day four, and I told Dickie, I was like, I'm good, man. I was like, you don't need to list me as whatever. I was like, I'm going to play. And then he texted me today, and I was like, I'm playing 100%. Yeah, so shout out to our training staff and my ARP machine. It's made a big difference. But because Tuesday night, I'm not sure that I could have. I could barely get up out of bed, but feel tremendous, and nothing happened tonight. So onward we go. I'm trying to move on to 2-1.
You speak about gelling. How nice is it to put this kind of performance together this early in the season with so many new pieces when you think about it?
We lost. There's no really moral victories. There's just building of a house. You don't want to miss any opportunities to learn and grow. And I think that it's easy to sweep it under the rug when you win because you won. You just look at the outcome, but we're looking at the process. Last week wasn't good enough offensively at all. Our defense straight up won the game for us. And tonight we've got to come through for them. We've got to be able to, if they put up that many, we've got to put up 50. And that's what team football is all about. And there's going to be nights where we need to do that. And tonight wasn't good enough either. We did some good things, just like we did last week, but we need to do a lot better in terms of, you know, finishing those last two drives. And like I said, and even the very last one, you know, being able to, you know, put a touchdown on the board, possibly get an onside kick. You just never know in this league, and not good enough.
Trevor, how good was Sam Ellis tonight?
He's been that good since, you know, the first few days of training camp, and I think people are just finding out about him. He's fun. He's explosive. On his second touchdown, I thought I overthrew him, and the way he accelerated out of that, because they covered it up pretty good. They covered up 1, 2, 3, even the 4, and so I scrambled and escaped, and his scramble rules did it perfectly. Went high, and I lofted it out there, and as soon as I let it go, I was like, I overthrew him, and he accelerated and dove and got underneath it, and he had told me that was making up for last week, because he felt like he could have caught the one in the, I think it was the first drive of the second half, but he made up for it tonight. He's a stud.
That is Trevor Harris. If you're wondering where all those yards came from, he was at 428.
You sure?
They took 23 yards away from Sam Emilis. So he went from 100 to 77, and Harris went from 228 to 405. Oh. So
are they accurate or what?
Who knows?
The CFL stats.
Because I thought it was 300 yards.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. But they took the 23 yards off Sam Emilis for some reason.
So no longer. All right. He's still gonna be the player of the game, man.
But you see, Harris, I like him, man.
Yeah,
that's the guy. I'll run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, you can feel in the huddle, can't you? The quarterback needs to have that, and it seems that way. He's got new people around him. The team's rebuilt around him, and he strolls into that huddle like he knows what he's doing and what he's talking about. New receivers, a veteran running back or two, and a couple of offensive linemen who've been here before, but he can just take it over, and they follow him, right? What it's about.
They got something, I'm telling you.
Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson here on the Green Zone postgame show. Bombers win 45-27. Still time for your calls at 1-877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, and of course you, the fans, on the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. Bombers come into Mosaic. Win again, 45-27. They've now won 8 straight games in the regular season and the playoffs against the Riders. That streak goes back to the playoff game of 2019 when Cody Fajardo hit the upright at the end of that.
You can't mention his name. We're not allowed to talk about him.
I can do just because Leanne says not to doesn't mean that we can't.
Okay. All right.
Cody Fajardo. There.
All right.
Oh, he appeared. It's like Beetlejuice. 1-877-332-8255. Paul.
Sequel for Beetlejuice coming.
Yeah, that is unnecessary. Paul in Yorkton, what do you got for us? What are your thoughts on the Riders tonight?
Well, I'm going to be nicer to Craig Dickinson than it was last week. But anyway, the offense did better than I thought. Hey, Harris was very good. I knew better than I thought, considering he wasn't 100%. But, yeah, he was impressive. Redeemed himself definitely from last week. The indecisiveness from the ref certainly didn't help. But Emilis, wow, he was amazing. And if he can carry this forward, I mean, there's going to be great things coming from this guy. But Winnipeg overcame any Rider momentum, and we didn't counter. Couldn't match them. We lost fair and square. So I'm wondering, Belton, I hope you're listening.
Listening.
Considering your food is so good, maybe you could provide a sermon to help the Rider faithful cope with getting beat by the Bombers for the last 8 times.
Aye, aye, aye.
That's great.
I mean, eight, you're right.
Anyway, it was kind of depressing that, Shivers, he had no answer for Winnipeg's offense. You know, Kolaris virtually untouched, and was very good. Can't take anything away from him. Schoen was fantastic. They're in the class only in the league all by themselves. But hey, let's punish Calgary next week. I don't think we can come down too hard on the team. And, we have some injuries. And we'll figure it out next week.
Well, Paul, I'm picking Saskatchewan to beat the Calgary Stampeders next week at McMahon Stadium.
Okay,
I'll say it right now, and that is my pick next week: Saskatchewan over Calgary.
A big coin toss for me on that one.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Bill?
You picked Saskatchewan to win today, so yeah, I'd be shocked if you didn't pick them over Calgary.
And I got to pick them over Calgary. I think they're the second best in the West right now, right?
I do too. I think they're right after Winnipeg.
I know you're not a VA Vernon Adams
got to show
guy.
Me. Vernon Adams got to show me three or four times in a row before I start believing in him.
Okay, let's get to game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, game Warriors.
Alrighty then, over here to Daryl Davis. We always start with the winning side and
defense.
No, that's not how it works. Oh,
okay, then I gotta switch screens. Can I give it to Zach Caleros?
The offensive game warrior?
What do you think? Nah.
No.
Quarterback's always. No. He'll be the unsung hero. How's that? Yeah. He was outstanding. And not only did he throw the football well, but he ran effectively. He's so good at seeing when there's an opening. And he scampered for that touchdown. He ran for a first down a couple of times, second and seven, second and eight. Just, you know, there's no way you can account for that. He's not a running quarterback, so you're not going to spy a linebacker on him. You're just going to kind of leave him to find his way around and hope you cover everybody and maybe somebody will tackle him. But he saw that. He saw the drops. He saw the running room and took off. But I won't make him the player of the game. Quarterback can be the player of the game, the offensive game warrior every single time, every single game, can he technically? And I guess there are some outstanding ones. But Dalton Schoen, 8 catches, 145 yards, including a touchdown. And that huge, what was that? The one that
he had 5 second down conversion catches.
It was in the freaking middle of the field, man. They could not stop that.
What was that? The second and 20? Nobody was near him. The pass, the catch that he made, that's one of those backbreakers. We talk about several parts during the game where you could just see Saskatchewan sag. The Rough Riders just sagged, and that was one of them. You can't give up a play like that in a situation like that. So he came through and made some very big plays for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So Dalton Schoen.
Do I get a point because I said he was going to eat on the pregame?
Well, then I get a point for a point for the guy I picked because I said
Sam Emilis.
Sam Emilis, who's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offensive game warrior. 7 catches. You said they took away 23 yards, Jamie. So
77.
I know. So they took away 23. Otherwise, he was a 100-yard receiver. So, but how can you not give a guy, and when you hear Trevor Harris talking about that overthrow that he thought he made, and Sam Emilis went and got it. Man, he played well. Britton Gray has been telling us all through training camp, our writer-reporter, that this guy is the one they're all raving about. We talked about him last week a bit, that he had to re-indoctrinate himself into the Canadian football after getting away from it for a while. He grew up playing Canadian football, then played college football in the States, and is back at it. And boy, I like him. You know, the fact, leave him out there, and when Keon Schaefer-Baker comes back, move him to slot back and leave Sam Emilis out there. Because, 7 catches, 77 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Man, oh, man. There are some great performances by these receivers, but how can you overlook a guy who catches 3 touchdown passes, never dropped one? He's good hands, man. They've got a bunch of guys like that.
Let's go to the defensive game warrior for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Well, we've been talking about the Rough Riders being unable to run the football tonight, and I think that has a lot to do with their weak side linebacker, Malik Clements, 5 defensive tackles and a sack. So number 33 for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He'll be their defensive game warrior. And for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, guess who made 10 tackles tonight? That's a magic.
Let me guess. Yeah. He had 8 at halftime, so I imagine it's Larry Dean.
Yeah, because Winnipeg didn't run the ball tremendously effectively either, right? So, you know what? Maybe they should just spy him on Zach Caleros, and Caleros won't make those runs. But Larry Dean, the middle linebacker, number 11, 10 defensive tackles and a pass knockdown.
Yeah, he had a knockdown, too. Yep. He defended it. Yes. It almost tipped it up, and it was, I think, Williams almost had
24.
The pick.
Yeah,
that was close. On that play.
Williams played pretty well, I guess he could be the defensive or the
unsung
hero. We'll wait for a while. That'll be the suspense. We'll leave you in suspense for that one, you guys.
Okay. Yeah, we'll find out. Let's hear the offensive game warrior Sam Emilis' thoughts after the game tonight.
Like you said, it's a tough one. I feel like we had the game. We just, second half, they took it from us, and we could have get it. But next week, we're gonna be ready.
Sam, special to get your first touchdown in the CFL. You got 3 tonight. How did it feel out there for you?
I mean, it felt good, man. I've been waiting for that moment. I'm just happy right now.
How good is it to, after the training camp, they were kind of calling you out as a guy they expected a big season from, to do this early in the year?
I mean, I already put big expectation on myself, so I was coming out training camp, I was already ready to, like, to prove that I can do what they need me to do, so it's showing off right now.
How about you and Tevin Jones both coming in here and having big games?
Right, I mean, Tevin been working hard ever since his surgery also, so we're just working and trying to, you know, make some plays.
Did you almost throw that ball away?
I almost did, and I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I got to keep it.
First touchdown, he was at Pill Country, and he was about to chuck it into Pill Country and went, wait a second, this is my first ever touchdown. I think I'll keep it.
He kicked one away later, didn't he? Was it second or third one? Yeah. I wouldn't be kicking those away. He had three in a row and just saved those forever and ever.
Braden Lenny, as you remember, threw his away.
Had to find the fan to get it back.
And right? He did get it
back.
Yes,
he did. Yeah,
and those cost money, too, by the way.
Yeah, you're paying for them if you get them out there.
Oh, yeah, you get fined for...
Not fined. You got to pay for the football, though, right?
For the balls when you...
Well, isn't that the same thing?
The same thing.
Yeah, same. Well, yeah.
Just saying. I'm keeping them all.
Yeah, you get caught. You get a warehouse wholesale discount.
Was there ever a Belton Johnson play to come in as the sixth offensive lineman and... maybe run one like a Dan Clark into the end zone back in the day?
No, I'd be afraid I'd drop the ball and upset everybody.
Don't throw it to me, coach. I'm not a tight end.
You know, you wide open to something, boink, it jumps, bounces off your chest and picked off. And
that can ruin everything, can it? It all the plays you worked on, and all the Hoggies would be mad. Oh, you're supposed to represent us offensive linemen. Come on, man. Just don't drop that football.
Coming up here on the Green Zone postgame show, we will get to Unsung Heroes and put a wrap on a Friday night on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, we'll put a wrap on the night as the Bombers beat the Riders 45-27. But first, we have to get to Unsung Heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
All right, Daryl Davis, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Unsung hero tonight?
Well, it'd be tough to... I could say Janarian Grant, but he's pretty well known because of that. He got the play of the game. You know who made some big offensive plays? And it doesn't show up real big statistically, but he's the outlet guy. And Belton always picks him because he's a rider killer. But I'm thinking that Nick Dembski, 5 catches, 51 yards, 2 second-down ones. He just is always the right spot. Just when they really need a play, he seems to be the guy who comes out of the woodwork. And he says, oh, right, Nick Dembski's on the team. And he makes a play that really keeps the drive going, gets that first down. So Nick Dembski... one of those players the Riders shouldn't have let get away. I realize Nick Dembski's going home to Winnipeg to play, but he was Rough Rider property, and they were using him the same way, right? As a receiver and as a running back a little bit. And I just think he's such a great weapon, Canadian weapon too, that you forget about him sometimes, and you forget about him at your own peril. So he's the unsung hero for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Nick, what do you got for the Rough Rider?
Well, how did your new defender player, Deontay Williams, steps in for Nick Marshall, which is a tough job on a passing offense against such a great passing offense. And I think he stepped in. He didn't look out of place for certain. No. Made a nice play. He basically was the guy who tipped the ball on that call we're all asking about, the pass interference play, right? He had his hands on the ball. He just looked in the right spot, played hard. Listening to him before the game was pretty impressive too. How hard he's worked and the struggles he's gone through just to play football. And he gave it everything he had tonight, Jamie, with a special team tackle and 4 defensive tackles and a knockdown.
Two
knockdowns. Yeah, that's right too. So I think he's a pretty good candidate, and he will be the unsung hero for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Well, let's hear from Deontay Williams, the unsung hero, in the locker room afterwards.
Yes, we just gotta be better. Better on defensive side. Just keep going. Attack every day. Erase this loss in 24 hours and get back to what we need to be. Yeah.
You talked about how special this game was going to be for you in your football journey. Did you at least take a moment to enjoy it out there?
Yeah, I cried before the game. Yeah. It's just mixed emotions out there. My kids came to watch, my coach, my wife. and her family came to watch me play. So, and the people back in the States watched me play. So, I was just trying to give a show out there for them. So,
I mean, a tough first assignment too. How would you describe going against the Bombers' offense?
They pretty good. They what my teammates told me how they are. They that. So, give props to them. But next game, we know what to do and. We come back stronger, so it's not over yet. So
would you call that a motivating loss, or are guys fired up?
No, it's a motivated loss because we know we better than what we did. Like on defense side of the ball, 44 points. Yeah, and we trying to be the best defense in the CFL. So we're just gonna come back and keep going.
There is a Deontay Williams, our unsung hero tonight, as. You heard the motivation of that young man with his first start, and probably earn some more playing time at some points this year when Nick Marshall is healthy and back on the roster. But before we say, I guess we have to go through the bold predictions.
Is it good or bad?
For you?
Oh, man.
Not good.
All right. Time to start doubling up then, Jamie.
Ryder quarterbacks passing percentage, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, and who has the most throws? Because there was a question about, and I was wrong.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, that's where you got your point. You had Trevor Harris.
Well, I was gonna the stats. Are we sure about these stats? I think we got to win.
I'm manipulating. I get into the back door of these stats. I know I'm dropping them down to 270 yards passes.
405 yards. Daryl was the high at 270, so I guess we get a point. We both said zero touchdowns. You said one. It was three touchdowns. Yeah. Daryl gets a point.
Oh,
but you were way closer on percentage. It was 71%. Daryl said 72. Wow. So Daryl swept that one. How many sacks do the Riders get after getting five last week? The answer was one, and it was the last play of the half when they're going for a Hail Mary.
Pete Robertson.
Yeah. And Pete got the first one.
So Daryl and I both get a point because we said two. Belton, you said three. Sean Bain Jr., he had seven touches on 10 targets for 51 yards and a carry last week.
Oh, last week.
Last week. This week. It was six targets and six catches. Daryl said six targets. I said seven catches. You said four, Daryl, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So I get the point. And I was he had 120 some yards, and I had 100. I get a point, and no rushing yards. That is what Daryl said. So he gets more points there. Belton said Saskatchewan was going to win. Meh. Wrong.
Oh, man.
Daryl and I both went with Winnipeg. We both get a point. I get the extra point for score. Daryl said 28-20. I said 30-15. So my 15 point differential was closer than Daryl's 8.
I live with that one. Yep, yeah, that's fair.
You got enough points in the bank.
I think as we were driving home, I said you got an 18 point differential. Jamie, you picked by 15. I think it's probably your pick tonight. So
Daryl got 8 points tonight to jump to 19. I got 5 to go to 21. Belton, you only got 1.
Oh,
you're sitting at 10 points.
Well, I'm going to give Belton a 10 point bonus for bringing in food.
No, it's a long way to go.
It's the best food, man.
As Deontay Williams, long way to go. Yeah. There's a lot of season left here as the Rough Riders are now 1-1. The Bombers lead the West at 2-0. The rest of the CFL, BC Edmonton tomorrow, LL Cool J with the halftime show, and then Toronto against Hamilton. Toronto's first game of the season wraps it up on a Sunday. As always, a special shout out our Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, doing a bang up job with the pregame stuff and the postgame work. Chance behind the board once again. Solid performance. Here on the pre and post game show. Our unsung hero is always the technical production. Of course, Brett Horton helping out. But to you, the fans, always a shout out to you and the great calls we always have. Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. We'll do it all again next Saturday against the Calgary Stampeders. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it again.
Let's do it. Giddy up.
Any plans for the tailgating tip yet there, Belton, or what do we got?
Oh, yeah. Barbecue Sunday.
Oh, what?
Barbecue Sunday.
Like ice cream?
Not ice cream. It's, you know, take the cup, a little solo cup.
Yep.
You layer some baked beans, some pulled pork, some coleslaw.
Oh, wow.
Maybe some potato salad.
Jax is like, oh, yes.
Look at that.
Can't wait for that one. You two gentlemen, have a great Father's Day.
You too.
Happy
Father's Day out there. And we will be here Monday on the Green Zone starting at 2 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.